Sleepaway Shorts. I'm your host, Sheehan. Before we get cracking on North Carolina wide receiver Dyami Brown, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platforms so you never miss an episode from Sleepaway. Follow us at Sleepaway Show on Twitter and start making room in your trophy cabinet for your next fantasy football trophy. Dyami Brown stands 6'1", he's 185 pounds, left high school as the highest rated wide receiver in North Carolina. He turned down more prestigious programs to stay home and play for the North Carolina Tar Heels, where as part of a star-studded offense featuring Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Sam Howell, Daz Newsome, and his younger brother Caffrey Brown, who I think might be a better player than him. Dyami broke out as a sophomore. He had 51 catches for 1,034 yards. He also tied the school record with 12 touchdowns, and he led the ACC with 20.3 yards per reception, was named third-team All-ACC. He backed it up as a junior with 55 catches, 1,099 yards, which led the ACC, and 8 touchdowns. He was named first-team All-ACC and third-team AP All-American. Virginia will certainly be pleased to see the back of him. In 2019, he had 6 for 202 and 3 against them, and in 2020, he had 11, 240 and 3. So what does Dyami Brown do well? Well, he's got good receiver craft. He understands the position well and the nuance required to be a successful receiver. He slips easily through zone coverage, finds soft spots when he needs to. He sells his double moves well and uses the field position and leverage to wrong foot his defender. And because he's a constant threat to score, he gets a decent buffer from his corner normally. He uses this to get separation on breaking routes because he sells the streak hard. He tracks the deep ball well, which is necessary given he's a deep threat player. He's solid against the press. He wins inside when he can and stacks his routes nicely when he can't. He's excellent in the blocking game and should test well in strength exercises. This will get him on the field early in the NFL. He's also a conscientious player. He knows what he needs to do to succeed, he's willing to do the dirty work, and he understands how to play the position. They're all things you would like to see in your wide receiver coming out of college. But where does he need to improve? Well, frankly, everywhere else. His hands are bad. They're so bad a man rescuing people from a burning building would make fun of him.
Well, damn, my man just started throwing babies out the window. Wow. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
I think he's a bit like the Raiders version of Nelson Aguilar. He's a deep threat with suspect hands. His hand technique is fine, which comes back to him being a student of the position, but he can take his eye off the ball at times. It seems to me like he has no confidence in his hands whatsoever. I saw him drop consecutive passes in a game, then juggled and nearly dropped a body catch. Screamed to me like an outfielder who just wanted the ground to swallow him up. Unfortunately, his lack of confidence in his hands and his lack of ability to consistently catch the ball impedes his ability to make a play after the catch, often because he's so concerned about securing it. He doesn't like contested situations, often favoring a breadbasket catch even in the end zone, which is fine in college, but NFL defenders won't let him do it regularly. I only saw one contested catch on tape, and even then it looked more like a fluke than technique. There was a lack of willingness to go up and get the ball, which cost him a chance to score or even cost his team a turnover. On one occasion, he was so concerned about the man on his shoulder that he threw out a half-hearted bus hail attempt, and had he come back to meet the ball, he might have had a chance to catch it and score. He looks timid when he knows contact is coming, plays the game like he's afraid to get hit. I think this contributes to his catching issues, as he's more concerned about getting laid out than securing the ball. Frankly, I don't blame him for it. I certainly don't want my bell rung by an NFL safety, but it's the sort of thing that coaches won't like. He's also no threat after the catch. I never saw him used in the screen game. He was very rarely used on an underneath playmaking route, like a dig or a slant. He has the bare minimum moves to make people miss, but he does fight hard to get as many yards as he can when he is tackled. He ran a very limited tree in college, mostly streaks and fades with the occasional hitch. He's an average athlete for the style of receiver he is. You'd certainly like him to have more speed than he has, given he's so one-dimensional. He's not a true burner like a Tyreek Hill or even a John Ross, and he's not overly explosive. I would suspect he might run in the high 4.4s, but for the style of player he is, you would probably want him to run low 4.3s or high 4.2s. So where does that leave us on Dyami Brown? Frankly, I don't get the appeal. He has had an outstanding college career, and kudos to him for it, but he seems so limited with what he can do, don't see it translating to the next level. He's going to be a luxury player for whoever drafts him. Blocking is going to get him on the field early, and the secondary will have to respect his deep threat game. You're never going to throw to him on key third downs, but chuck it up on first and 10 and see what happens. If you are going to draft Diami Brown, he's going to be a very boom-bust type player in fantasy. He's currently going at the back end of the second round in dynasty drafts, and I just think that's far too high for a guy who cannot catch the ball, who needs a lot of work and doesn't want to get hit. At that point, I'd rather Tamarion Terry or Elijah Moore, who are similar players to a degree but have a much higher upside and offer a bit more. Both of those are currently going later than him in dynasty drafts. The earliest I would consider him is the back end of the third, and at that point you're drafting upside and you can't go past his production. I think he's going to likely be a whipping boy for fans of whoever drafts him. Inevitably, he's going to be someone who goes off against your fantasy team every year but is not going to produce when you own him. So that's it for this episode. Follow me on Twitter at SleeperWireShow for fantasy football musings, rookie and dynasty talk, bad jokes, and occasional trivia questions. As I said off the top, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Follow at SleeperWireShow on Twitter for more great content. So stay safe, and we'll catch you next time.
I like Agalon.